This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, a podcast that's all about the sights, the sounds, the scenes, and on Tuesdays, the listeners. And this week, we got quite a few comments this week. Really happy with that. Thank you very much. But first, I'd like to thank two new patrons this week. First up is David. I got his right after I recorded last Tuesday's podcast. So I sent him a quick message saying thank you, and you will be in next week's podcast today. So thank you, David. And also later in the week, Matt joined up as a Patreon supporter. So thank you to David and Matt. And for those of you going, what's a Patreon supporter? Well, a Patreon supporter is somebody that goes on to patreon.com/Brightside Home Theater and supports the podcast monetarily. And you can do that once a month. They take money from you once a month. You sign up and it's as little as a dollar or as much as infinity. And neither David nor Matt signed up for the infinity option, and I don't blame them. But that would be great. But a dollar is awesome. I have a few dollar supporters. And most people, I can't get over the generosity. I am blown away, to be honest with you. I never thought people would support me. And, well, just I didn't think people would listen. Never mind give me money to help me do this. So thank you to everybody. But yeah, you could do that. All the links for this are in the show notes. And the other way you could support the podcast, and that gets you a little something as well, is you can go to tpublic.com and just search Brightside Home Theater. And again, the links are in the show notes. And you can buy merchandise. There's Brightside Home Theater merchandise that you can wear around. And then you get nice comments from people like, oh, you have a home theater? And you say, yeah. Speaking of that, there's a quick little segue here. Another way to get comments about doing home theater is pull a Tony Stark and commandeer the television at your local bar if you're capable of doing so. That gets people like, you know about this stuff? So I was at my local bar/restaurant last night, and that would be Sunday night, and the Red Sox are in the playoffs against Tampa Bay Rays. And because they don't get MLB at my local bar, they don't have that channel, they don't subscribe to it, we weren't able to watch it, so we were just watching football. So I grabbed my trusty iPhone, and I called up my Fubo TV on my phone, and I found the TV in the building that I could stream to, and whoop, then we got base. We had the playoff game on the big screen in the bar. Everybody's like, "Where did that come from?" I'm like, "Don't tell everybody, just in case this thing crops out." But I looked at the bar owner. I went, "Yeah, I Tony Starked it," and I just commandeered the television and took it over. So that was kind of fun. But that always sparks up conversations because then people come over and you go, "Oh, I'm having trouble with my internet. What do you think of this?" And so. But yes, so to support the podcast, yes, you can go to tpublic.com, just search Brightside Home Theater, or just go to the show notes, and you can also go to patreon.com/Brightside Home Theater. Thank you very much to David and Matt. Really appreciate it. Not necessary, but I absolutely love it, and I can use it because things are getting expensive around here. I'm going down some rabbit holes. Maybe we'll talk about that in a little bit. All right. David sent along a message with his donation. It said, "Let's get this thing up to $100 a month. Thanks for all your hard work." And thank you very much. We're getting closer. We're at like 60 something is what my donations are coming to. So a month. And I haven't touched it yet. All the money is still sitting there. And like I said to you before, I'm thinking of actually saving it up and buying something with it for the podcast or the theater that I will demonstrate or whatever. But I'll do something with it and let you guys know. So the money is there, though. but thank you very much. All right. Also, another way to support the podcast, just follow me on Twitter and join in on the conversation. And we had two new followers this week. First, we had #dork followed me on Twitter. They've been following my other podcast on Twitter since the inception of the podcast. This one here, it's outside of their realm, but nice of them to follow along. Great guys over there. They're the ones that I was trying to get them over 1,000 followers on YouTube. And they just followed me back on Twitter this past week. So thank you very much to the guys over at #dork. And also, George Perez followed me on Twitter as well. So welcome to the family, George. Thank you very much. All right. Next up, we have, a comment. Have you seen this? This is fantastic. I cannot wait for this. It actually comes out as you're listening to this. It came out today. It comes out right now on Tuesday, and I'm talking about the movies that made us over on Netflix. Have you seen this season? I tweeted it out. Check out this lineup. This season has 8 episodes. It has Aliens, Nightmare on Elm Street, Coming to America, Friday the 13th, Halloween, RoboCop, Elf, and The Nightmare Before Christmas. All in season 3 of the movies that made us over on Netflix. I cannot wait for that. And then Mark V then replied, definitely watching that. And I can't wait for it. I love those, especially Aliens is going to be fantastic to see what it took to make that movie, what it took. Because if you're not familiar with this show, they go into like some of the most difficult movies to make. And the past 2 seasons have only been 4 episodes each. And now, they did Back to the Future, I believe, in one of them. And they were like, that movie, they do movies that almost didn't get made or movies that were fairly difficult to get made. And they're great. It's lots of behind the scenes information. Couple of them, I can't remember which ones, but a couple of them I knew most of the information. It was very, Jurassic Park. They did Jurassic Park. And I knew a lot of the information on that one just because of the history of Jurassic Park and knowing it, having it on Laserdisc and having all the extra features. And the movies that made us was a little bit redundant in that way. But that's because I had already done all the research myself. But for movies like Aliens, I don't know if I know all of the information on that, or Friday the 13th or Halloween. It should be really good. So really looking forward to that. Next up, we have Francis Omoko. He says, The Guilty on Netflix. He says, love the subtle chatter around my listening space watching this movie. I know you like pans and stuff. It's not loud bangs and such, but very atmospheric. And I apologize, Francis, because I never replied to you. He DM'd me this message, and then I was putting this show together, and I look, and I never replied to him. So, sorry, Francis, but it is in the show. So, here is my reply. I love stuff like this. I want to actually check this show out. But I love, and Francis, you know this too, from listening to me for a while, it's any of these scenes where all you can hear is some chatter in the background, or you'll hear, like I said last week with Bram Stoker's Dracula, you hear the typewriter going, or anything like that. There's stuff in Hunt for Red October when they're in Washington, and Greer and I forget the main character's name. It's Harrison Ford. They're in the office there, and they're just like, no, I'm not Harrison Ford. He was in later. See, I'm getting it all mixed up. Anyways, they're in the offices in Washington, and you can hear the people talking. You can hear typewriters going. It's all that little extra stuff that puts you in that room, and it's so much fun. That's the stuff that you don't get just watching on a regular TV. Next up, from Reginald Boyd at Matt Craig on Twitter, says, talking about Scott Wilkinson. And I got quite a few of these inquiries again about Scott Wilkinson, and I am trying. The problem is where he was before is filtering through his emails. That's the other thing that I found out. So it's making it hard. They're not filtering through them. I'm just having a hard time getting him. I'm not sure he's even seeing my emails, to be honest with you. So if anybody has a direct line to him or an email, that see if you can give me an email that I could get to him, like an email address that you know will go directly to him, that would be great. Because a lot of the stuff I'm using is through some of the shows that he's been on. So, but that would be great. I love listening to him. He'll come up again in a second. Somebody else commented. Dan Carpenter, new listener, or new to me. I don't know how long he's been listening, but he says, that Kaleidoscape show was great. Not that the others aren't, but now I'm looking at this really hard. I only have an 85-inch TV at the moment. Can you imagine that? This is me saying this. Can you imagine saying, I only have an 85-inch TV? But a 100-plus-inch screen is in my future. Thanks for the great shows. Keep up the great work. On a side note, I live pretty close to you and would love to talk home theater with you anytime over pizza and wings. And I said, I love pizza and wings. So he said, yes, he loves wings as well. But then he also said, just listen to your kick-ass podcast. Made me order the 4K version. It'll be in here. It'll be here tomorrow. And then another comment he made is, your interviews remind me of the Home Theater Geek podcast from years past. I wanted to ask you if your collaborator friend does that for a job or a hobby, and if he's still doing it, I would like to get my 85-inch Sony calibrated. And I said, yes, Jim does still do this. And I put Dan in touch with Jim. He should be, from what Jim said, he'd be going out there in a couple of weeks. But what was funny is this is the rabbit hole that I've been going down. So I got into, at the same time that I got Dan's message and then contacted Jim for Dan, put them in touch. So Dan actually lives like two towns away from me. He's literally 15 minutes away. But judging by the town. So that's pretty cool. So we will be hooking up. We will be meeting up at some time. But anyways, so I'd already gone down this rabbit hole because of the new show Foundation on Apple TV Plus. I absolutely love the show. I'm listening to the podcast. I'm having such a good time with the content of the show. The problem is the show looks so good. I believe it's in Dolby Vision. It sounds fantastic, but I'm getting a lot of black crushing and I'm getting a lot of stuff going on with my stream that I'm not happy with. So I went down the rabbit hole of how do I get rid of that? Now, the Panasonic 820, it does a lot to be able to get the picture to go and work well with a projector. You can tell it, you know, you can take an HDR image and you can simplify it down for a projector so you still get the beautiful HDR, but you get, it doesn't crush or anything like that. How do you do that? So I'd already gone down the rabbit hole. I've ordered the HD Fury Diva. I'm doing this and that. But I talked to my buddy Jim, who calibrates my projectors. He has an HD Fury Diva. I didn't know that at the time I bought mine. He uses it for a different reason. But he also has the Luminance Pro. What is it? I can't remember the full title of it, but the 4K Luminance Pro. So now I'm down that rabbit hole. Now I'm in trying to get in contact with Jim, who designed it, the owner or whatever, for Luminance, and we're maybe getting me one of those to put into the theater and try to get all of these things, because Jim's telling me the best thing you can do is this and this and this. So a nice little conversation with Dan has turned me into going down this rabbit hole of this hobby can get expensive, but if you want to have the best possible image, it's going to get expensive. And so Dan is actually, he's going to have two of his televisions calibrated by Jim when he gets out there. So I can't wait. Dan, let me know how it goes. I'm sure you'll let me know. But I will talk about it here. I want to get Jim on the podcast too, because after he had been in contact with Dan, Jim, we had a conversation that lasted probably an hour and 20 minutes. So, and the entire time I'm like, you know, he's like thanking me for promoting him on the podcast. And I'm like, oh, you got to come on and this and that. But yeah, it's just like anybody else. You get going, home theater, you start talking, and we can go down all sorts of rabbit holes and start spending all sorts of crazy money. So thank you, Dan. I really appreciate it. Also from Mark V, DM me. He's like, I never found the poll to vote for the horror movie from last week. He's like, I believe it was Daylight. He goes, I'm in the horror season, so I vote the Mysterious Horror Movie. Also, did you get the original Halloween with the Atmos mix? That would be a cool show. Thoughts? And I said, I've been slammed with work. I'll put out the poll tomorrow. As you could tell, that was a few days ago. I still haven't put the poll out. So we're going to go with the other horror movie because I just hadn't had time. I literally, I'm not making excuses. I'm not trying to say this is why I hate promising things, because when you don't follow through with them, you feel like a donkey. So I apologize. I didn't put the poll out. We're going to go with the original movie, and it wasn't Daylight. It was, it's something day runner, whatever. I don't have it in front of me, and now I'm freaking out in my mind because I can't think of it. But anyways, on to Halloween with Atmos. I was going to do that this year, but it's one of those things for me that I just don't, I don't like to do the movies right when they come out. So Halloween, the original Halloween, is coming out in 4K with Dolby Atmos. I will be doing that next year, though. Because last year I did Halloween from 2018 in 4K. I did that, I believe, the last day of the month. This year I have something special lined up for the last day of the month. I can't wait for that one. But yes, I will be touching on Halloween with Atmos. I'll do the entire movie breakdown next October for Halloween. So I'm looking forward to that. Yes, I do have it, I don't know if I have it in house yet, but it's on its way if it's not already here. But looking forward to that. Next up. These are all comments since last week. Reginald Boyd at Brightside HT. I subscribe to Stereophile Magazine and Sound and Vision Magazine. I've been doing this since back in the 70s and 80s. And that's last week I did. I talked a lot about getting hard copies of magazines. So just Reginald's letting us know. And yeah, I never did I did Home Theater Magazine. That was my first one. Then that turned into Sound and Vision. Now I'm getting Sound and Vision. I haven't gotten my copy yet, but I'm getting Sound and Vision again. So looking forward to that. Theo, always great for the comments. And now Theo's also following us over on Brightside Chat. So Theo's commenting there. So I expect my listenership to go through the roof over there as well, because Theo's a great promoter. Theo says, thank you, DJ. Your show is entertaining and fun to listen to. This new format is way better. Thanks again. Anytime, Theo. Thank you. Thank you very much. WV Brew sends a link to a cinemablend.com article, Millicent Simmons, 5 Cool Things You Should Know About Quiet Place Part 2 Actress. And he also says, I watched A Quiet Place 2, great sound watching bonus footage. I had no idea she was actually really deaf. And then also another article from HollywoodReporter.com, John Krasinski pushed to cast a deaf actress for A Quiet Place. Screenwriters Brian Woods and Scott Beck recall how the actor-director fought to make Millicent Simmons his on-screen daughter. And links to those articles will be in the show notes. But yeah, that is pretty... I know her from something else. I can't remember what it was, but I did know that she was deaf, but I can't remember where else I knew her from. All right, moving on, Steve George. This is a funny one. This is good. He says, at Brightside HT, oops, sorry for referring to the Tuesday podcast as Throwback Tuesday, as opposed to Takeover Tuesday. That'll teach me that I need to concentrate as I tweet. And I wrote, absolutely no apology needed, George. Because you guys hear me, I've already screwed up. I can't remember about the movie Daybreakers. See, it just popped in my head. Not Daylight, it was Daybreakers. My mind's a it's a bird's nest of information. I never know where anything is in there. I got to search around and find it. But yeah, so he just got the, I know I've said Steve George's name wrong quite a few times on this podcast. I've called him George instead of Steve and blah, blah. So I just made the joke, and nobody has to apologize for screwing up the names of my shows while making comments, because you know what? I'm just happy you're listening. I don't know. Call me Holden Theater Junk. I'm happy. Adriano the Nerd at Adriano Tweets 87. Now that you've mentioned Nicolas Cage, I have the strong desire to watch Gone in 60 Seconds. Now that is a popcorn movie for sure. Absolutely love that movie. That's what I love watching that movie with my son when he was younger. Well, like 12, I think, is when I'm like, you got to check this movie out. It's so good. Great sound in that movie since the beginning. I mean, watching that on, I think, I'm pretty sure I had that on Laserdisc and then DVD and so forth. And just always loved the sounds of the cars. And it just a great sound, just a fun movie. No, it absolutely is a popcorn movie. I would not be surprised if that shows up in the podcast someday. Also, WV Brew replying said, The Rock and Con Air, those would be good 4K Atmos tracks. Absolutely. I don't know why they're not already. Con Air, The Rock, all of those Nicolas Cage movies, like I said last week, that they're great. Con Air is so much fun. So much fun. It's just such, you know, like, leave your brain at the door and have a good time, because it's funny. It's entertaining. There's lots of big booms and explosions and all of that stuff. They're just great home theater movies. The same with The Rock. That scene in The Rock when they're, the sound in the room, how good that would be in Atmos when they have the guys all pinned down. And they're in that area. The bad guys, Michael Biehn's team is all above them. And then they just shoot at the guys coming up through like the drainage system. And they're shooting down them. That scene would sound fantastic in Dolby Atmos. The whole movie would, actually. All right. Moving. WV Bruce sent an awesome picture. I'll describe it to you since this is an audio podcast. It's a picture somebody put out for Halloween, and it's got the characters from Scream, Chucky, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, and Halloween. So that, I don't know what the Scream character's name is, but you have a ghost faced, I guess that's what you call him. And then you have Chucky, you have Freddy Krueger, and then you have Jason and Michael Myers all sitting at a table, a white tablecloth with blood handprints on it, and it says, those teenagers deserved it. Change our minds. It's great. And I retweeted that, and quite a few people commented on it. That's hysterical. And it is. It's great. Can you imagine driving by and seeing that out on somebody's front lawn? Because that's what it is. It's somebody put it out for a Halloween decoration. It's pretty cool. Thanks, WV. Graham Cole sent a link for King Kong Ultimate Edition and other movies like Casino Royale and stuff. All additional 20% off. That link is in the show notes. Easy for me to say. So I think King Kong's like $22. Ultimate Edition, no less. 4K UHD Ultimate Edition, $22. Link is in the show notes, and that's from Graham Cole at Grambo X. Thank you. Comment on YouTube. Here we go. YouTube comments. Horns, H-O-R-N-Z, says, I'm a new viewer, and this is on A Quiet Place, he commented. I'm a new viewer, and I've been binge-watching your episodes. Keep up the awesome and entertaining work. I got to show this one to my dad, because my dad binge-watched and listened to me for 22 years before I finally moved out, and he had enough. So he's amazed that people want to hear me talk. But yes, thank you very much. And the fact that people are supporting me on Patreon, that's amazing. So to hear that somebody's binge watching me, that's pretty amazing too. Thank you, Horns. Horns also commented, Quiet Place 1 and 2 are some of my favorite movies. And he also lives in Massachusetts, small world. And I said, yeah, with Dan. Dan is also in Mass. I know, I apologize. I know you're about 20 minutes away in Rhode Island. I talked to him a few months ago. So we should have a home theater meetup someplace sometime. Somebody wants to pick a place, I'll show up. Let's see what's next. All right, let's get to some comments from Dracula last week. Graham Cole says, subtle and sophisticated, like a fine wine. And it is. Absolutely is. And he also says, I'm halfway through the podcast and I desperately want to see this in Atmos and HDR. I don't have either. It's on the list for future home theater. Thanks. The HDR in that looks fantastic. And at the end of the podcast, I'll let you know what's coming on Friday. I can't wait for you guys to hear it. I had so much fun doing it. So much fun doing this Friday's podcast. I can't even wait to tell you about it at the end of the podcast. So you'll have to wait till then. I don't know how long. A few more minutes. Another comment about Bram Stoker's Dracula. Carl Ricci says, a staple film to own. Absolutely. That's why I kind of like that. There's very few movies. That's why I don't consider myself a reviewer, too. Very few movies are going to come through my podcast that I'm going to do a review of and say, don't buy it. Spoilers. It's like if I'm watching it, it's because I love it. And then I just want to talk about it and tell you about the fun scenes that we're talking about. And then we'll go from there. And that's why I don't really consider myself a reviewer, because I don't give you both sides. I don't like to bash things. I don't like to say, because if you don't like something, that means it didn't speak to you, but it doesn't mean it's bad. It just means that it didn't speak to you. So maybe the artist missed the mark with you, but other people are going to like it. So that's why I'm not a big fan of talking negative about something. If I see somebody do something that they like, it's physically like it's just wrong, I'll comment on that. But most of the stuff that comes through here, that is going to be all positive, and it's going to be stuff that I think people should own by the end of it. So, little spoiler there for every podcast coming out after this. It's like there's not going to be a big surprise. Like, don't buy this. Even Thor Ragnarok. I love the movie, but it's got some issues. It missed the mark on some things. So, and we all know what those are. But yes, definitely Bram Stoker's Dracula in 4K is a staple film to own. Absolutely, Carl. You are absolutely right. All right, let's get to some emails here. I had a little email exchange with G. Cornell, and he says, not familiar with Mesrine Killer Instinct, but it looks like something to check out. As the Blu-ray arrived today, I will watch it tonight, Thursday night at the movies. So the next morning, I hadn't heard from G. Cornell, and he usually gets back pretty quick. I said, how was it? He says, didn't like the lead actor at all. Was hoping he would get taken out in the first act. But then we wouldn't have a movie, would we? He's like, skip it in capital letters. And I said, that's too bad, but thank you for your service. LOL. And he said, just doing my civic duty. And if I come across something that I don't like, I'm probably not going to put it out to you guys. But if you guys want to report on stuff that just isn't very good and you're like, look, avoid this, by all means, let me know. If it comes into me, if you talk negative about me, I'll let people know. If you don't like something I'm doing, I'm going to read that too, as long as you put it nicely. If you put it meanly and like you're cruel about it, then no, I'm going to filter that one right out. But I'll probably simplify it or something. But yeah, if there's movies and stuff that you're like, guys, please avoid this, I'll put that in the podcast. I won't put it in the show notes, but I will talk about it. But if we want to promote stuff, I'll put that in the show notes. But negatives, by all means, let me know. So Mesrine Killer Instinct is one to avoid, according to G. Cornell. And I trust him, so I'm going to avoid it. Next up, we have, this is a good one. Another one from G. Cornell. He says, it's that time of year, software or hardware, what's on your home theater holiday shopping list? And I was like, great question. I said, I'll answer that in the podcast. And I said, do you mean for me or what I'd give to somebody else? And then he clarified, he said, for me. And I, for me, so it's yeah, Christmas time, holidays are coming, and what would you get yourself for Christmas? Well, I already told you, Lumigen, I'm looking into, that's money. Kaleidoscape, that's money. So that's, I'm definitely not getting both of those this year, if either of them, to be honest with you. I need some help. But I'm not really, other than that, I'm pretty set on my what I want. As movies come out, I used to, now here's something I used to do. Let me know if you guys do this. Once the November hits, like Thanksgiving, I used to not buy a single movie until after Christmas because I knew people wanted to buy me stuff. So if I bought a movie in December, then somebody would, you know, and then they gave it to me on Christmas, I'd feel bad or I'd have to return it. So I would just stop buying. Now I just don't, nobody buys me home theater stuff. And I'm not trying to brag. I have a podcast here, but I'm not trying to brag. Most of the stuff that I need at this point, it's not something that you could get for a gift. You know, back when I could, it would be, my wife got me my speakers, but they happened to be in my Amazon queue. I had added them in and I was like looking at them. They were used, they were on sale. And it was Christmas time, so I was trying to hold off because we're saving money for, you know, we're buying for the kids. Money's going out left and right. So I waited, and next thing I know, Christmas morning, there's my speakers because she saw it in the cart, and she just bought it. And so that was pretty cool. That was a pretty interesting thing, a unique way to go about it. But other than that, my wife did buy me a Darby back in the day, probably, and I literally teared up because this was probably a $250 item that at the time did do something for my system. It was, I can't remember exactly. It was similar to the HD Fury, only a little way less advanced. But it was a filter that would help with streaming stuff and Apple TVs and things like that. And your cable system, because I was running satellite at the time. And I was like, I had been looking into it and researching. I didn't know she knew, and she bought me that. That surprised me. And like I said, I got a little choked up over it because she put a lot of thought into it and found something that, you know, that I hadn't even talked to her about, because I think the things that it would do, she wouldn't even know what I was talking about. So. But for this year, I can't really, it's hard because I'm so ready to just get stuff when I need to get it. And if it's like I said, I'm doing the Lumigen right, and I'm like looking into that, and I HD Fury thing literally happened on Saturday. It just came in as I sat down to do this. So I can't wait to play with that tonight. So you know what I mean? Like things just happen and then I get them. But for me, it's probably just movies. And that's it. That's it for this year. But you guys let me know, because that's why I think it's a great question. Let me know what's on your holiday shopping list. If you even ask people for home theater stuff, answer that question. That's great, because if you have people that can afford you to get you stuff for your home theater, that's fantastic. So let me know. All right, moving along. No Time to Die in Dolby Atmos and Vision has ruined cinemas for me. This is an article on Tech Radar. This will also be in the show notes. This is an email from Carl. I read this article, and basically what it is, it's a good article to read. Check it out. But actually, he said that Gerald Lynch is the author of the article. And what happened was he went and saw Shang-Chi, and he just saw it in a normal theater. But then he went and saw No Time to Die in a Dolby Atmos with Dolby Vision theater, and it was fantastic. And basically, it was as close as he could get to what he had at home. The great cinema experience, the great picture, and the great sound that you can get at home, that in 90% of the theaters you just can't get. And it's ruined him. He's like, now the only place I can see a movie is in that particular kind of theater, because I never want to go back to a crappy regular theater with a regular projector and regular sound. And I couldn't agree more. I'm the exact same way. I like to have the crowd. that is my draw to the theater, because even the Dolby Atmos in a big cinema and even the Dolby Vision, or I know, Carl, you love your IMAX theaters, but because it's so big, it just doesn't, it's not as good as what I see at home. But I love the crowds. I love to experience. And when you go to those big cinemas like an IMAX, or you go to a Dolby cinema and you're experiencing it with all of those people, and the people seeing them in those theaters are just like us, that's the draw to me. They're looking for that best experience in a theater, and that's why they're going there. That I want to be with those kind of people. The problem around here is it's very hard to get to those theaters. They're not very close at all. My closest one is probably with no traffic at all, is over an hour away. Then you add in traffic living where I live, trying to get into Boston, which is the closest Dolby Cinema or IMAX with laser, that's the closest one. You're talking an hour and a half to almost 2 hours away, and it kind of ruins. You're aggravated driving in traffic, you're aggravated driving out, and it ruins the whole theater going experience. The one that I have nice and close up at in Millbury is, Cinema Deluxe or whatever you call it. It has Atmos, has great picture, good, great sound. None of them compare to what you get in your room, though. If you calibrate your room and everything's going good, you can't beat it, picture or sound. Just can't. All right, moving on. Also, Dune. Oh, per last week's episode. Here we go. Carl again talking about Dune. Per last week's episode, Wilkinson is seeing it in an IMAX laser. Zero excuses, DJ. And I just said, nope, I know. There are zero excuses to see it. But what is my desire to get there? And it's just because of the travel time to get to an IMAX laser theater. It's just not worth it to me, unless as winter comes and then I get days off from work because it's just too cold for me to work or something. Hey, I'll make a trip in and I'll check it out, and whatever movie it is. And that's fun to me. And that's when I get the opportunity to see that stuff. I used to make trips to all of these theaters anywhere in the state. I'd drive 2 to 3 hours to check out different theaters because I'm trying to find the best theater. And I at the time, I was gauging my theater against it. And to be honest with you, the latest piece that I added is my dual SVS PB2000s. So in my tiny little room, adding those to my theater gave me the one piece that I was missing. So when I bought those, it was maybe 3 years ago, but they were running the ads for the Mission Impossible with Henry Cavill. And remember the trailer for that and that scene when he was like loading his guns, his arms, and he said, doof, doof. They timed the bass on that. Him like loading his arms up to punch him. Remember the bathroom scene? Well, it was in the trailer, but there was a bass shot for each one of his arms. And my son and I saw that in a Dolby Cinema with, Dolby Atmos sound, and they had the bass shakers in all the seats. And it was a phenomenal sound experience. The bass that I felt in that room, I was like, I got to get that in my house. I have to get that somehow. So what I did was, I had dual subwoofers. I had this, but they were mismatched subwoofers. They didn't go, only one of them went, one of them was an NHT. Another one was from a company that was going out of business many years ago that my father, he's like, if you want to, they sell stuff, what would you be looking for? I'm like, subwoofer. So I don't even know what the specs on the thing were. I still have it too. I don't use it, but I still have it. But I'm like, I got to get this bass thing down because I want that. That to me was the one thing that I was missing at the time. I didn't even have 4K yet, so I knew I was missing that. But I got to get this subwoofer thing down. So I went, I got the SVS 2000s, and in my room, they're overkill. But that's fine because I wanted that low extension. That was the lowest I could afford, the lowest extension I could afford. And those go down to like, 16 deep, you know, 16 hertz. And I was like, all right, maybe, and it, depending on your room, maybe even lower, so who knows. And I perfectly placed them in the room, centered at the front and the rear. There were going to be no excuses on where these things are going. They're getting centered front and rear, so I'd have the best, you know, layout for the room, best, you know, sound for every seat. And I wanted to see if I could get that feel. And, of course, I did. And I, you hear me talk about it every week in this podcast. I'll talk about feeling that punch and feeling it up through your seat. I don't have bass shakers, but it feels like I do. And in my pretty much all of my seats, the front row, not as much as the back row. But you still feel it in the front row. But most people don't watch movies in my front row. It's way too close. It's the main row is the second row. And I designed it that way. But in all of those seats, you feel it in your chest. You feel it up from underneath. All three of those seats, that District 9, when you shut the engine off, you could feel that in your seat. That's what I wanted. You can't even duplicate that. Now I go and I play that scene in my theater, that trailer in my theater. I'm like, there you go. That's what it sounded like in a Dolby Cinema. That's what I wanted. I love it. Absolutely love it. But you can't now, and now that I have the 4K picture, there's no way. No cinema can beat out what I have at home because you're sitting too far away. It's all relative now. So I'm not saying mine's the best, but what I'm saying is they're not going to beat it because I'm sitting, it's such a perfect environment for me right now. I haven't seen a cinema going to the cinema, something to beat it yet. I know there's home cinemas that'll beat mine, absolutely. And actually scheduled to see one pretty soon, actually. So, but the Dune technical specifications. So I guess Dune is coming out in IMAX, but it's going to have dual or multiple ratios. And here are the aspect ratios for Dune. It's in IMAX laser. Some scenes will be in 1.43:1. On the Blu-ray release, some scenes will be in 1.78:1, so probably similar to Dark Knight. And the main movie, the entirety of the movie, will be in 2.39:1. Digital IMAX, interestingly, will be at 1.90:1. So IMAX laser is at 1.43. Blu-ray will, their scenes, their, where they expand it, they'll go to 1.78, which is basically 16:9. And then the 2.39 for the rest of the movie. So pretty interesting. The sound mix, though, 12-track digital sound mix, IMAX 12-track. Oro 3D will be 11.1, and the Dolby Atmos track and IMAX 6 track. I mean, these are all on IMDb. That's where I grabbed all of this from. And the runtime is 2 hours and 35 minutes, so looking forward to that. Not too crazy about the... I'm not a big fan of the... multiple aspect ratios, though, because I like to have my black bars up and not have, you know, just pick one and go with it. Why don't you just go with the IMAX screen? Why do you have to go back and forth? So, I don't know. Anyways. All right. Movies and scenes for the week. We'll wrap up with this. We have John C. You know who you are, John. He says, Midnight Mass. Excuse me. Sorry about that. Midnight Mass on Netflix, episode 1, time stamp, 51 minutes and 22 seconds. The storm is Atmos demo material. Thank me later. And so John, he is very humble. This is my buddy John from my other podcast. He texted this to me and I said, yeah, I'll thank you. I'll put it in the podcast. So yeah, thanks, John. So check that out. I haven't actually had the opportunity to check this one out yet. I'm looking forward to it, though. My wife and I are going to be watching this maybe even tonight because I might try to get this in before I record with him tomorrow night. So we will see. But if you're watching Midnight Mass or you want to see a demo, Atmos demo material, go to episode 1, timestamp 51:22 of Midnight Mass on Netflix. And that's it. That is it for this week. Thank you to David and Matt, my two new patrons, and thank you to Dork Pod, hashtag Dork Podcast, and George Perez for following me on Twitter, and thank you to everybody for supporting me on all of the platforms, YouTube, Twitter, here, there, everywhere. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Thank you for listening. Everybody that's new to the podcast, hey, thanks for giving me a shot. Thanks for checking it out. This week's podcast, I teased it and teased it. I cannot wait to talk to you guys and tell you all about Psycho in 4K. I was blown away. I picked this movie because I love the movie. And I thought it would be a fun, simple movie to do. It's black and white. It has, you know, I'm like, how it's from 1960. How complicated could this be, right? I thought it was going to be a short podcast. I honestly thought I was going to say, hey, this one deserves the respect, that it deserves. Let's give it its due. I want to do it this month. And I thought it was going to be like maybe a half hour podcast. I was wrong. This movie is it's fantastic, and I can't wait for you to hear it. And I'm going to tell you right now, I want by the end of the podcast, I'm going to be telling you that you need to own both the 4K version of the movie and the most recent 1080p version of the movie. And you'll have to tune in on Friday to find out why. But I hope that I convince you to at least own both. If you don't already, I'm not lying. I would say just do it now so that you're prepared and ready to go on Friday, because I'm excited about this movie. And I think as a home theater fan and as somebody, I almost gave it away what it is. But as somebody that loves home theater, and if you're listening to me, you must, because I'm tough to listen to. So if somebody that loves home theater, you're going to want both of these in your collection, both versions of the film, the 1080p version and the 4K version. And I will tell you why on Friday. So I can't wait to talk to you on Friday about Psycho in 4K from 1960. And that'll do it. That's been a great week. Thank you to everybody for all the comments. Thank you to all the Patreon supporters. All 17 Patreon supporters. Let's keep that going. I really appreciate it. I'm working on some stuff. Maybe when I get to 20, not maybe, when I get to 25 patrons, I'll probably start doing some stuff for just Patreon itself. So let's see if we can get that up there. And if anybody has any ideas, suggestions, critiques, send them on in. You can email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com, or you can tweet at me at brightsideht, and you could just let me know anything you'd like, anything at all, and I will be here. So I will see you on Friday. Thanks again. Have a great week, everybody, and go push play.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production, with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.